nearly pressing his faceplate against the panel. Now that he could see it properly, it was obvious why the lever would never work. It blended into the rest of the panel. In fact, all the controls were like that, merging seamlessly with the background. He looked at the door carefully now. There was no seam between it and its frame, only a smooth continuation. It was as if the caluche was made of grey dough. The cable car had become just another vessel on the brown ooze of the Mulch River. Quirrenbach was using the car's arm to propel it along against the sluggish flow, reaching out on either side to brush against the overhanging slums. He had obviously done it many times before. "We're approaching the edge of the dome," Zebra said, pointing ahead and up. She was right. One of the merged domes of a mosquito net came down here, with the slums scraping against its filthy brown surface. It was hard to believe that overhanging sloped ceiling had ever been transparent. "The inner or outer edge?" I said. "The inner," Zebra said, "which means..." "I know what it means," I said before she could answer. "Quirrenbach's taking us towards the chasm." Chapter 35. The canyon grew darker as we approached the net, the overhanging structures more precariously stacked above us, until they arched over, forming a rough-hewn tunnel dripping unspeakable fluids. Hardly anyone lived here, even given the squalid population pressure of the mulch. Quirrenbach took us underground. Powerful lights glared from the front of the cable car. Occasionally I saw rats moving in the gloom, but no sign of any people, human or pig. The rats had reached the city aboard Ultra ships, genetically engineered to serve aboard the ships as cleaning systems. But a few had escaped centuries ago, shrugging off their gloss of servitude, reverting to feral type. They scampered away from the bright ellipses cast by the cable car's lights, or swam quickly through the brown water, trailing V-shaped wakes. "What is it you want, Tenor?" Quirrenbach said. "Answers. Is that all? Or are you after your own private supply of dream fuel? Go on, you can tell me. We're old friends, after all." "Just drive," I said. Quirrenbach pushed us forward, the tunnel branching and bifurcating. We were in a very old part of the city now, decrepit as this underground warren seemed. It might not have changed very much since the plague. "Is this really necessary?" I said. "There are other ways in," he said, "but only a few people know about this one. It's discreet, and it'll make you seem like someone with a right to get to the heart of the action." Presently he brought the car to a halt. I hadn't realized it, but Quirrenbach had steered it over a tongue of dry ground which rose out of the water near one stained and dilapidated wall, festered in grey mould. "We have to get out here," he said. "Don't even think about trying anything," I said, "or you'll become an interesting new addition to the decor down here." But I allowed him to lead us out anyway, leaving the cable car parked on the mudspit. There were deep grooves in the ground where the skids of other cars had created impressions. Evidently we were not the first to use this landing place. "Follow me," Quirrenbach said. "It isn't far." "Do you come here often?" Now there was a note of honesty in his voice. "Not if I can help it. I'm not a big player in the dream fuel operation, Tenor. Not a very large cog. I'd be a dead man if some people knew I was even bringing you this far. Can we make this a discreet visit?" "That depends. I told you I wanted some answers." He reached something in the wall. "There's no way I can take you close to the center of things, Tenor. Start understanding that, will you?